would invite you to take your Bibles and follow along as we go through this lesson. We're going to talk about some things of eternal. We know the Word of God leads and directs us in every walk of our life. And if we let God direct us, He'll always lead us in the right way. We know and are assured of that very thing because that's the way God is. He loves us. He wants to see the best for us in our lives. I want to direct your attention to the names that are on the board this evening. You may recognize some of these. These are people who are famous, and they are people who at one time had a lot of money, a lot of power and position in this world. They were people who were singers. They were people who were actors and actresses and those who were movie stars. But yet they all have one thing in common that I want to talk about tonight. And that is, they all left this world because of drugs or alcohol abuse. And we're going to talk about that because I believe that that is a important subject that all of us need to talk about from time to time. Especially to our young people who are going up in this world. They're growing and they need to hear the lessons about not to go down that road of abuse of alcohol and drugs. Now I want to first say at the beginning of this lesson, there is a proper role for drugs as far as making a distinction between the good drugs versus the bad drugs. Now we're talking about tonight about the drugs that are destructive and how the power that they destroy our lives, they destroy everything they touch because of the abuse of these things. Now there are times when medicine and pain relievers, that is a proper place when it's prescribed in the right way and done in a proper way, that's good and well. But when it is not the case, when it is what we call the recreational drugs, that is the problem we're talking about tonight. And I believe that we need to talk about this because Satan is after to destroy us any way he can. And if he can get us young, while we're young and while we have a lot of potential in our lives, then he can destroy us by getting us hooked on to these things and addicted to these things that are his, what we might call his playthings. We're going to talk about Satan's playthings and how he uses these to get people to fall for his ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, here Paul says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Some things that Satan will use, his devices that he'll use to control people that's out in this world today. And that people need to be aware of these things. That parents need to teach their children diligently, always. Don't go down that road of the drunkard or those who abuse drugs. Those who live that kind of lifestyle. Because it's not something that we want for our children. Nor for us as those who are adults. We do not want to go down that path. Because it's a path that leads on the broad road, as Satan would tell us. As the Word of God tells us, the broad road that leads to destruction. I want to talk about just for a minute. How are people introduced to Satan's devices? Well, it might be curiosity. When we're young and we're new to the experiences of life, there may be times when curiosity kills the cat, so to speak. That we see our friends doing these things and we are curious. So what is the feeling of, what does this kind of drug cause us to have, these kind of feelings and such? Well, that may be the case, that some, because of curiosity, desire to try some drugs that are out there in this world. And I'll tell you right now, there are some drugs out there, you try them one time, and you are hooked. That's the hook, isn't it? Satan throws out the lures, and just like the fish, it doesn't see the hook behind it, but it is there. The addictive quality of some of these drugs. And it may be the peer pressure. We talk about our friends doing these things, and then maybe they pass us the joint of marijuana. And they say, "Here, try a hit of this." And we've got to make a decision as young people, maybe how we're introduced to this. How we need to make a decision whether to say no, like we should say, or we go along to get along with our friends. And that may be the peer pressure that causes us to have a problem for the very rest of our lives. Or it could be some who, because they have pain in their lives and they want to try to escape the reality of such pains, that they are willing to do anything to get away from reality. And that is such, people turn over to a life of drugs because they don't want to live in the real world. And I know that it may be causing a lot of pain, but also these things cause them even more pain, more problems than they had before. Or as someone once said, he was looking for a good time, looking for fun and good times. Well, that may be the case, that some are looking for fun, that life is too boring for them to live the normal way, that they have to add some stimulant to their life, that they have to have something beyond what is normal and normal and is productive in life today. And so some may be looking for a good time. Like this man who was going to these AA meetings said, "So I didn't go out to look for a problem." He's in his fourth time going to these AA meetings. And he said, "I just went out to look for a good time, but I did not come back." And such is the case repeated over and over again. He said, "I lost the way to come back." He lost the way home to come back. And he every day he'd be on the end of his pipe would say, maybe tomorrow it'll be different. But yet it never changed the way he felt about those drugs. So we can be looking for fun and good times. And I believe that's one of those Satan's greatest deceptions is that that's the only way you can have fun is to have some kind of stimulant or some kind of beverage of choice. And people in the world today do this. They say, well, you know, you've got to celebrate, and this is the way that people celebrate in the world today. But as children of God, we have other ways to celebrate. We can be joyful, found more joy in Christ than what is out there in the world through drugs and alcohol abuse. And so that may be the case that people think that they have to have these things in order to have fun and have a good time. But such is not the case. Satan would like for us to believe that to be true, but it is not the case. Proverbs 20 verse 1, as the brother read, says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived," notice that, "whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." We want to be wise. We want to follow the one true wise God that gives us all wisdom. And He tells us through the book of Proverbs, don't go down this path because it is only a mocker to us. It is raging and is a deceiver to our lives. In Hebrews 3:13, we also find warning concerning this. It says, "But exhorting one another to daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin." You know, when we start going down the path of sin in a particular way, we can harden ourselves to the very truth of God's Word. It will alienate us from our brethren. It will alienate us from the one true path of righteousness to follow that which is the way, that is the good and right way for us to follow. And so we need to not let sin harden us and deceive us into thinking things that are not true but are actually falsehoods. And I want to spend the rest of our time tonight talking about the addictive power of drugs and alcohol and how that can be a problem because of our start this way. And I had a chart I was going to use, but somehow lost this from the lesson. But I want to talk about some of the recreational drugs, if you will. You know, there are some drugs, like I mentioned, that are so powerful, one time you can use these, like drugs like crystal meth. You know, you're an instant addict by using these drugs. You use crack cocaine, and one time or twice, you are an addict for life. You have to have help to get off some of these drugs. You have to go through rehab in order to get straight once. And it's a process, too. It's not going to take something overnight. This is going to be a laborious, agonizing trip back to reality. When a person uses PCP and heroin and all these other drugs that the world offers today, and has heard some new drug out there that's killing our teenagers today. There's always some new thing that people are abusing just to get a high. And I'll tell you right now, it's sad when people lose their lives over to Satan when it comes. You know, Paul said that he would not have any power over him. And I believe what he's talking about, he would not let something cause that be controlling him. Whether it's sin or it's any other thing. We should not let our bodies be subject to any power but by the Lord Jesus Christ, a living sacrifice to Him. But there is the danger of people giving themselves over to these things. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29 beginning, here the wise man once again says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrows? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, that they go to seek mixed wine." And he's talking about the wine of the alcohol that people used back then. And we see that today we have even powerful things. We have whiskey and beverages like that. And I've heard one brother said that one out of five people who take their first drink will have a problem putting that drink back down. And I believe that to be the case because we know how powerful that addiction can be. But he says it's mixed wine that person will go. It's no longer just wine, but it's mixed wine with other intoxicants. It says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Now he's describing what happens when we go drinking to get drunk and in this state of intoxication where our brain is inebriated by this alcohol. And verse 33 says, "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things." We can see right now the dangers because when we're intoxicated by drugs and other things, we lose our sense of right and wrong. We no longer are thinking clearly and soberly about the right kind of life we should live. Verse 34 says, "Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it again." That last statement there just kind of makes me think about the person who is going through this problem of, and they are suffering through this, or they have lost complete control of their life because of this. But yet when it's over with, what happens? They want that again. And that's what happens when someone becomes addicted to this form of abuse. There is what we call a cycle of addiction, where someone, because of drugs or other things, they are not the same person as they used to be. They plan their lives completely around the using and abusing of drugs. There is the planning and preoccupation that comes first, where someone is always thinking, they're obsessing about the next time they can use their drugs of choice. And here, then next follows the acquisition of those drugs. And I've heard that people that do this, it's almost as if they are giddy. They're happy once they've now got the drug that they are in love with. But then comes the abuse or use and abuse. And then there is the coming down off that. As we mentioned in the book of Proverbs, the man comes down off that high, that corresponding high. Then there is a low that person hits. The hangovers and the getting sick and feeling bad just because they don't have the drugs anymore. And then it starts the cycle all over again, week after week. I've heard of people that, and I've actually seen this, men that would work all week just so they could buy a case or two of beer for the weekend. And you wouldn't see them after Friday payday. You wouldn't see them until Monday morning because 2 days they get to completely drink and satisfy that urge. And so every evening's that, but they really do it on the weekend. And so a person who gives their life to this, that's what they do. They're planning and revolving around this drug of their choice. But then the cycle of addiction also brings the cravings. That's why people become addicted, is because they crave. We've introduced something into our bodies, and our bodies are screaming for this stimulant that we put into our bodies, this drug. And I've heard this can be way stronger than hunger pains. You know, sometimes we go a few hours without food and our body starts to cry out for food. Well, this is far worse than any hunger pain. It becomes cravings, and then there is withdrawals. And I've seen people who you try to get them to work a day, they cannot go a day without having something in their bodies. They feel bad without the drugs. There was one boy that used to hide some stuff when he was working for us. And we found out what he was doing. He had some beer bottles and things hid behind the building. And so that was the case. And there were some that would sneak and try to use it while they're working. And such was the case that we had to let a few go because of that, because we found out that they were on some kind of high by simply by looking at it. You can tell sometimes just by looking at the eyes and seeing the actions, the slurred speech, how bad this position really is. What they're really doing is chasing this high. And what happens is, once they get this first high, and if it is a pleasurable experience, there are more to come. That's why we've got to talk about things like this. Because our young people do not need to go down this road. Because what they really need to do is stop the abuse. But it takes a while to get those out of their system. And then there's, like we said, an agonizing process to get the person to rehabilitate themselves. And so they'd rather keep on using the drugs. You know, someone said that the reason I keep doing these drugs is because I don't feel normal without them anymore. That because of the lows that they have when they're not on, they have to use just to feel normal again. That's what the cycle of addiction does. It makes us less than what we were to start with. Now we have a new problem that drains our resources, all of our money, and puts it out the window. We might as well burn the dollar bills that we work so hard for. The addiction becomes more important than life, than relationships, and even the consequences. When we know that if we are using again and we have to have a drug test, that we are going to fail that and we may do some prison time for that or some jail time. It becomes more important than our life and any our dearest relationships, family members, who are begging us to stop the abuse that we're doing to ourselves. Because they see us hurting ourselves by doing this. And these drugs, they become their best friend, so to speak. They think that. That's how the level that we mentioned, how Satan deceives us. He gets us to think that nobody understands us like this chemical or this drug. So it becomes their best friend. But I would say it becomes their idol to them. Something that they have to have, that they're bowing down to worship the very drug of their choice. That's not them using the drugs, it's the drugs using them, is what we would say. You know, Satan snares us in the pit. And I'll have some same things to say about this. The fact that people who are in the pit, and Satan has some snares, does he has some traps, and this is a very cleverly disguised trap. It's disguised around having fun, isn't it? The person that's down in the pit, they don't want to come out to the real world. They'd rather have people, you've seen that show Intervention, where there are people who try to intervene and try to correct and help that person, and how they're fighting it every step of the way. Well, Satan snares us in the pit. And if we do those things, just like any sin. But this, because of the addiction, it's far harder for people to come out of that. They have to be simply dragged out of the pit. For them to have a new life back in Christ, they have to have a major experience. Something that almost maybe takes their life. For them to wake up and come to their senses like the prodigal son. And the Bible says, and he was in the pig pen. There it was that he came to his senses. He came to his own. But it may be that some never have this experience. Because they're chasing the high, it takes more and more of the chemicals to get the same reaction. That's why at the beginning of the lesson, we saw that some were using more and more. And even famous people who have everything to live for because they have success. They have money in their life. They're not like some who have the struggle in this life. But yes, what the Bible says about some that desire to be rich. 1 Timothy 6 says that they desire to be rich, fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. You know, if you got the money to experiment with these drugs, and you can use this, and you don't have to really worry about burning a few dollars, you can see the temptation why people who have money will end up going to rehab. Because now they've tried these things, and they're in the pit, and they want to get out of the pit, or at least so to speak. But how does Satan use these things to destroy our very lives? I have a few pictures I want to show of how drugs change people. First of all, there is a change from someone who has physical appearance of normal life. But then after Here is a picture of a woman from January to August the same year, 2008. This is a mugshot of somebody on crystal meth. And how in just simply less than maybe around 8 months or less, this person's life has been turned upside down. You can see it physically in her face, in her countenance. And you see the lack of hope there. You see what drugs have done in that short of time to this person's life. Another person, from 2000 to the year 2007, and this is not natural aging. This is what crystal meth has done to someone. Here, we would not recognize the change in this person. They may be someone who has everything, youth, and everything going for them. But look on the other side, how it's changed their life. Not for the better, but for the worst. And then finally, here's a woman from May of 2000 to November of the same year, 2000. Just 6 months, how her life has been turned upside down. Drugs change people. Not only do they change us physically, but they also change us spiritually and within. They destroy our good conduct. You know, we may have been an upstanding citizen. We may be a good son or a good daughter at one time. I imagine those people that we just looked at one time, they weren't in the condition they are now. But because of drugs and abuse of those things, their conduct is not what it used to be. They've given themselves over to a life of sin. And as one writer says in the Bible, that we've sown the wind and reaped the whirlwind. And that's what we can do. We sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. It corrupts our character, is what drugs do. Our conduct will not be the same. Because of our drugs and the need of these things, we will turn to a life of thievery, a life of lying, bold-faced lies to even to our loved ones, our own mother and father. We'll lie to them, tell them stories that we know are not true. And so our conduct changes, doesn't it? As one mother said, "That's not the son I raised." And that drug counselor said, "You know, he's not the same. You've got two different sons there. You've got the addict son, but you've also got the son that you raised. And you really got to figure out which one you're talking to, the addict or the son." And so that's what happens. Our conduct is changed because of drugs. Our reputation, once we have given ourselves over to that, our reputation would change. We're no longer a good standing. You know, the Bible tells us, Proverbs 22 says, "A good name is rather be chosen than great riches." It's talking about a reputation. Now, you can't buy a reputation. You can destroy it very easily. And drugs do that. It destroys your name. Because once you are labeled a drug user, the police watch you. I know that to be a fact because they'll watch people who are known drug abusers and offenders, and they see the person coming and they start to very closely scrutinize that person because of their deeds. We lose close relationships. That's probably one of the hardest things, is we'll lose people that are very dear to us because of these things. We'll lose our livelihood as we're not able to keep a job because of the problems that are created by drug abuse. And I've seen people fired for this. And I tell you, this is an epidemic. It's an epidemic state that drugs are out to destroy people in this world. Because of that, they're not able to really provide for themselves. That's why you see a lot of homeless people who are using still. And they will sell anything. They'll even give up their dignity, sell their even body, their own body, just for the drugs and alcohol. And that's really the saddest part, isn't it? They'll give up everything. This one man said that, you know, if I just have the drugs, all he had was a cot, and he just lay down there all day. And he was happy. He was homeless, but yet he was happy as long as he had his idol with him, the drug of his choice. We also destroy our spiritual life by doing this. Did you know that this kind of behavior is something that will alienate us from good brethren? Because we know drugs are illegal, because we know that the church would not approve of such, we won't go to church. We'll stay far away from the church, the doors of a church many times, those who are addicts. and their spiritual life was not going to be, their prayer life is not going to be like it should until they give up what is coming between them and God. But that's the hardest thing. That's the greatest challenge of life, is to give up that. In order to get back in the kingdom of God, they've got to put God first in order to have a spiritual life. But because of these things, drugs build walls. Drugs alienate people from other people. And finally, they destroy our whole life. It has been said that certain drugs can take away our life, maybe take 10 years off our life, maybe 20 years, or even 30 years, depends on what drug it is. That life expectancy of somebody who does these things is way shorter than someone who does not take the first use of these things. Like I said, Satan is out there trying to destroy us. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Satan says, or the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You know what that verse always tells me is? Satan does not care about you in your life. He is just like that roaring lion that's out there in the plains. And he sees an animal that he desires to destroy. And he goes after it. He chases it, hunts it down, and just completely devours and tears to pieces that animal. He does not care about that animal at all. That animal could have a life, a family even. But he does not care. And so does Satan. He's the same way as that lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. Don't let Satan devour your life because of these things. I want to say at the end of this lesson, God has a better way for us than that. You know, I want to leave this with a good positive note. Because we know the destruction and the power that Satan can have when it comes to destroying people's lives. But you look at the other side of it, God wants the best for us. He wants the best possible life for us. I'm not talking about a health, wealth kind of doctrine. But if you think about this, if we as Christians live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, as we're supposed to do, we will not have the problems associated with alcohol and drug abuse and the destruction. We can avoid that because God has a better way for us. Proverbs 12, verse 28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." In other words, God's going to do the best for us. His way is best. But we've got to choose to go that way. We've got to choose to do the right thing. And I know people have come back from a life of this. And they can tell you about their experiences. And they can tell you that how I used to be this way, but I'm not that way anymore. Because they've repented. But they've had to do that. They've had to completely repent of those things. And live a life for God. Just like all of us, we've got to give up sin in order to be pleasing to God. If you're here, I hope this lesson's been beneficial to us. To recognize this great deception that Satan has out there. That he wants to destroy us any way possible through these things. But if you're here and you're subject to God's invitation call, if you need to respond by like the one did this morning, the young sister now, we can say she's a sister in the Lord. Because she was baptized into Christ to put on Christ. She believed, confessed. She repented of her sins, just like all of us, as the Bible teaches us to do. And now, we can be a new creature in Christ by doing what the Bible says, by obeying the gospel. If you desire the same thing this evening, don't hesitate. Let it be known this evening as together we stand and sing.